every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLASERRRMMDRAHAPAMOUS.
Shelly's got this faraway look on her face.
Do you notice how there's nothing recording here?
Where?
Does it usually?
No.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't usually do that. No, I'm just wondering about the ambient noise level. That's kind of worrying me a bit.
I don't see any.
What?
I don't see any.
Everybody, people at home are riveted.
Yeah. Folks, we're not sure if you're hearing anything besides us, so we try to be quiet to see if our board shows anything.
Well, Bruce has got one little button that's up when ours are down.
What should we do with that?
Let's push the button and see
what
happens.
Let's push the button and see what happens to Bruce.
Okay, Bruce, start talking.
Okay, I'm talking, and
oh my God.
It seems to be the same.
Wow, we almost lost Shelly.
So, wow, welcome to the power and glory that is Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Glory of your name. Sorry, I didn't get to do choir this morning. Shelly.
And Mark.
Wow.
This is what happens, folks, when people are on medication.
I'm not actually on my medication yet today. I couldn't take it before
the show. We had a slight hiatus, sort of.
Yes, we were very sick. Still sick.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not been good. I had a 3-day period where I slept for 68 hours. Shelly looked at me and she goes, I've never seen you that sick.
Yeah, it was a little bit scary. I missed the Zulu song this morning in church. We were singing a Zulu song.
Oh, I'm sorry. You heard that.
I really wanted to go and see that because I wanted to see like 30 blue-haired choir members getting jiggy to the Zulu song. Yeah, you're like one of the only ones that's not blue-haired, though.
Yeah.
Yes, they wanted us, the choir director wanted us to dance a little in the choir loft.
I've never seen anybody waltz to Zulu music before.
We don't,
foxtrot.
Yeah. We don't dance.
Watch out. Watch out, I'm going to pull out that Charleston. Yeah.
Like that scene from Las Vegas when he jumps out the window?
Yes. Actually, I like that movie.
Yeah, me too.
I liked it. So.
Yes.
You know what that means.
Oh, already? All right.
Already? Oh, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze.
You people do not realize to get through that sequence without coughing what that took.
Yeah. Right. Actually, yeah.
Okay.
I have an emergency inhalers they gave me.
Oh, good.
For walking pneumonia.
Okay. Let's see. In Kentucky, these are the first stories. These came off of FARC. So
and these are slightly older, possibly?
Yeah, but they're kind of, I think these are the kind of stories that doesn't really matter. This one's out of Kentucky, Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Leanna Brown has done the unthinkable, not once, but twice. She sold her child twice for drugs.
Two for the price of one?
Wow.
Each time charged $5,000 to get the money for drugs. What?
How'd she get them back after the first time?
I guess she got caught the first. Oh no! After the first deal fell through, she sold and got the money. Then she gave the baby to her cousin. Her cousin agreed to pay her $5,000. The cousin did it just because she knew her that the woman was on drugs and was worried about the child.
That's then, almost a hero.
When she tried to get her baby away from her cousin said, no, 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 you're not doing this again, called the cops and child welfare and had her arrested.
Are the cops going to let the cousin buy the baby?
She has a receipt.
Unfortunately, no, they placed the child in foster care. I don't know why they wouldn't leave it with the cousin who was taking care of the baby.
Yeah, I don't either.
That doesn't make any sense to me, but they... Something else behind that story, but...
More wondering, shall be revealed.
It's the wondering glory of the U.S. government.
Yes.
Now, let's see. Now, keep in mind that I haven't seen some of these stories for a little while, so I'm a little slow. In China... Okay, this was a little weird, and you should look this up on YouTube, because I saw the video, the YouTube video of this, and it's quite startling. Ni Yongbing, 63 years old.
One Hung Lo?
We Too Lo?
No, no, it's two names. Ni Yongbing. Yongbing is the last name.
We Too Lo.
He inflates tires with one nostril.
Well, you have to do something.
I mean, not like, what do you call them? Like not like pool inflatable tires, not like
car
tires with his nostril.
That's cool.
He plugs up one nostril with his finger. Mm-hmm. He's got the little tube in his other nostril, and he just exhales and blows up the tire.
How does he push the little pin thing in to get the air to go in?
I don't know. It said he started blowing up balloons, like large balloons, and he just graduated to tires, yes.
Oh. So there's like advancement in this job.
Yes, there was. He said he wanted to improve his sinus health.
I want to do that.
Yeah, me too.
My sinuses are shot.
I know, me too. Mine are too.
Wreckage of my past.
No, mine's just because of the bronchitis.
No, mine's because of the excessive cocaine I shoved in it all those years.
That would do it.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
I got a call wasn't from God, though.
What?
It was just an update on my grandson.
Yes, who was it from?
It was from my ex.
Okay, what happened?
He is asleep right now. He's at the hospital, he's asleep, and they're giving him, what they give babies for...
With pneumonia.
Pneumonia, yes.
You gave the baby pneumonia?
No.
No, actually, we think they gave it to us.
Oh. I haven't seen the baby.
Oh, okay.
Because he's been sick.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Now, speaking of diseases, this flows right into the next story.
Yeah, we did that on purpose.
There is a disease in the American Southwest, which is where we are. There have been cases have increased by 10 times between 1998 and 2011. It's called Valley Fever. It's a fungus that gets inhaled when it's dry, which it is. We're having a drought.
Yes.
And it gets lofted into the air. It infects the lungs. It spreads to the skin, bones, liver, brain, and heart. Then infects the membranes that protect the brain and the spinal cord.
Oh, man. Really?
60%.
Is that what we have?
Do they have video of that?
I don't know.
Is that what we have?
I don't think so. It says 60% of the people infected with it don't have any symptoms, like outward symptoms, until it gets really, really bad.
And then what happens?
Then you can die.
Oh, well, so the good thing is we're already sick, so it's probably not us.
Yeah.
The treatment,
it's Mark. Mark's got it.
Once you get it and like you're in the end stages of it, if you want to survive, you have to go to the hospital and they give you a treatment for like a week. They stick a needle into the base of your brain to inject antifungal drugs into your brain. And according to the story, it's quite painful.
Oh. Okay.
That doesn't sound so good.
Wasn't that around in the 70s?
I don't know. And that in order to, because you get like brutal headaches from the treatment, the only way to help the headaches, other than like massive doses of painkiller, they have to elevate your feet above your head to keep the blood mostly pooling in that area.
Oh.
It sounds horrible.
It sounds horrible, but Shelley's sort of reveling in that. You notice that?
Yeah. Sounds horrible.
They are saying that we can expect more cases of Valley Fever. The actual name of it is Kukchai.
Sorry, where you prevent getting it?
No, maybe it's not Kukchai. It's the actual fungus is, I love words like this, Coccidioides immitis. Coccidioides immitis is the name of the bacteria.
Mitis does do more than mufflers.
Yes, and apparently because the drought is so bad, we can expect to see more cases of it.
Okay.
Let's see.
Beauty.
In Virginia, Melissa Delp and her boyfriend Daniel Janney were charged with child endangerment. And the woman was charged with child abduction. Apparently, she took off with her kid and away from her ex. And then had them tattooed. Now, Yes, they had the kids tattooed. I can't see what the ages of the kids are, but their names are withheld, so they must be pretty young. Anyway, so they had them tattooed.
Yeah, we got that part.
The mom decided she didn't like the tattoos and tried to remove them with a hot knife.
Yeah, that'll do.
A hot razor blade, actually, it says.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
How old are the kids?
It doesn't say in the story. Malicious wounding is what they were. Child abduction, child danger.
Is the woman dead now?
No, they're in jail.
Oh. Almost as good. Because when they hear in jail what she did,
yeah,
they'll probably F her up.
They'll tattoo her.
That's the whole... This is one of those whole waste of water stories.
They'll remove any tattoos she has with a rusty
the dull spoon. a security guard at a private school in Quebec, Montreal, Quebec, is facing criminal charges after $1 million worth of cocaine was found in his vehicle.
And what does he do for a living?
He's a security guard at a very elite private high school.
Pay scale must be good there.
Where they buy a lot of cocaine.
Yeah, apparently where yes. The students are all buying a lot
buy
of cocaine.
Buy a lot of cocaine.
Yeah. Hey, dude, how can I score? Hey, go see Jason, the security guard.
Yeah, go check with the head of security over there.
And he must have been, you know, a good, quiet employee because it's another one of those cases where all of the people that he works with are saying...
Shocked.
Yeah, they're totally shocked. He's such a nice guy. I would never have suspected this. He's a model employee.
That's why I'm glad when I have neighbors that, like, make noise and shit.
And have arguments
because,
and stuff.
You know, they always say, the neighbor said, oh, he was such a quiet guy before he went on that killing spree. All of our neighbors, like, make all kinds of noise and shit.
Yeah.
So none of them are killers.
Yeah. Killers are good people.
Until they kill.
Just by extension.
Yeah, what a nice guy. He was so quiet.
Yeah.
They're so thoughtful.
His victims hardly made a sound.
Yeah.
Now, the next story, I'm confused here because I haven't seen this one in a while. Dude, it's in Kalamazoo, Michigan. K-A-L-A-M-A-Z-O. I got a gal in
Kalamazoo.
Sorry, I had to do that.
Wow. I don't even recognize that. It's got to be from a musical.
I remember the story. Reserve Police Officer Michael Strong went to a hotel in his uniform with his handgun for what he thought was going to be...
There was a hotel in his uniform?
A what?
There was a hotel in his uniform?
He went to a hotel in
his... That was in his uniform.
Okay, he was in his uniform and went to a hotel.
Okay, thank you. Shelly, I expect better from you.
I was wondering how he fit a hotel in his uniform.
I expect better from you. You are sick.
It was one of those little red Monopoly hotels.
You are sick.
He just stuck it down his pants. Okay, he went for what he thought was going to be a sexy rendezvous. He was going to exchange drugs for sex.
Oops.
Which did he have?
He had the drugs.
Oh, okay.
And he was going to be getting the sex.
Okay.
Apparently not.
From a male prostitute that he found on a website called Grindr. He'd apparently done this before. He was suspected of doing it, but they couldn't catch him doing it. So they set up a sting on Grindr. So he showed up, and ta-da! Yes, the room was wired with camera and microphones, and they recorded him telling the undercover male prostitute what he was going to do to him. Now, this...
I don't know that I want...
Did he claim he was undercover?
No.
Oh, because I would right away.
Yeah.
Now
I'm here trying to bust you.
Yeah.
The problem with this story, the reason why this tickled me, is that, you know, this is in Kalamazoo, and the the sheriff said that the problem here is now we're down to two officers.
How about this? I got a male prostitute in Kalamazoo.
You didn't sing. You didn't do the letters first. K A L A M A Z O O.
I don't know how the song goes.
Okay. Oh dear. All right.
So if you want to commit crime in Kalamazoo, now's the time.
Yeah.
They're short a cop.
Yes.
And probably on Sunday would be a good time too, because one of them's got the day off.
Yeah.
For sure.
They think, you know,
isn't
the whole
Kalamazoo bigger than that? I mean.
Oh.
There might be more than one Kalamazoo. I don't know, but the Kalamazoo there only has three officers, and now they're down one. Now that, you know, the whole Target deal where, you know, 110, it turned out 110 million people had their credit card information compromised. And, hello, I was one of them. Yay, I got a letter. Had to go and get all my bank account crap changed.
My son was another.
Yeah.
I paid cash.
I'm seriously considering just going straight cash because that's a lot safer. They think they know who sold the malware to the hackers. It's a teenager in Russia who goes by the online nickname. The actual kid's name, he's 17 years old. He goes by the online nickname Re4.
Re?
Re-R-E-E and the number 4.
Re-fer.
Re-fer. Yeah.
Re-fer.
Is
he a snowboarder on the Olympic team?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Does he drink amber-colored water in Sochi?
Okay, you guys are like doing jokes that I don't get. So
yeah, I know we're doing Olympic references early here.
Oh, cause see, I don't watch the Olympics.
CNN and see plenty about the Olympics. None of it really about the Olympics. So
go ahead.
But go ahead.
He developed something. It's malware known as Black POS, which I thought stood for piece of shit. But
point
okay.
of sale.
Point of sale.
I know it's also point of sale, but I always never mind. And it's been downloaded 60 times since he created it and uploaded it. He asks for $2,000 a pop to download his malware. However, he will offer it for free if the buyer agrees to split the profits that they get from using the malware.
So this kid has got a zillion dollars.
And Target revealed that their security breach was due to Black POS, which is the software he wrote. But it does not say in the story where he is or what happened to him. They just had this security image, grainy security image of the kid on the street.
He's living on his island.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
In Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
Okay, last story for this show. Y'all better get right with God in a big hurry.
I'm
in
good.
El Salvador, a nun who had no idea she was pregnant gave birth to an infant boy in January. She had severe stomach cramps, was rushed to the hospital, and gave birth to a healthy baby boy.
Did she wrap him in swaddling clothes?
They wrapped him in something because she didn't have anything.
I was a nun who's supposed to be having none, I would claim that too.
She's now a sum.
Yeah.
She didn't claim she hadn't. She's not saying anything, and neither are any of the other sisters in the convent, and they are taking the boy back to the convent with them to raise. They have named him Francisco, and he will be raised by the nuns.
They named him Francisco instead of Jesus?
Is Francisco perhaps the name of one of the gardeners
at the
said nun sanctuary?
Says that the nuns were quoted as saying they were very surprised by this event. It's a nun. She took a vow of chastity and suddenly she gives birth. She didn't know she was pregnant.
That's what
this
she
sounds
says.
Like an act of God. Hello, get better. The great days are coming.
Sounds
people.
Like an act of Francisco Sr., the guy that trims the hedges.
No. They named him after the Pope. Francis.
So he was trimming some more hedges.
So the. So the Pope was in town is what you're saying?
I'm just saying this is highly suspicious.
I'm good.
Yeah, it's highly suspicious, all right.
All right, well, in that case, that, my excellent
Ackman's razor,
is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Hey, Shelly.
What?
Welcome Shout back. Out.
Yes, hi. Oh, to the New Way Foundation?
And Sober College.
At SelfWillHappens.com.
Oh my gosh, I got one.
Nice going.
You sure did. Let's see if you can get... Let's go for two.
No.
What's the topic?
I forgot. Strangely enough, I must have selective memory.
How about that?
Selective memory.
It's amazing. When the topic's about selective memory,
like the corners of my mind. Misty watercolored memories.
I always thought that was memories.
That's what I just said, memories, because that's what I always think of, too.
Paintings of nudes.
You know, that was the very first record I ever bought. I bought it at JCPenney's for 29 cents.
Why would you buy that song?
It was by Elvis.
The Way We Were?
The Way We Were?
No, Memories. Memories.
Okay, that's not the same song
that's
we're talking
about.
Song.
I know.
But that's good that you
But I'm hearing the word memories. I'm hearing the word memories, and I'm thinking Memories was the first song I ever bought.
Bruce reminds me of another song. You can go your own
my
way.
Mind. Memories. And on the other side?
Yeah, what was the flip side?
Charo. The song Charo.
That was on the B side?
Yes, that was the B side.
Okay.
Charo. And for some reason... I still have the sleeve, and I do not have the 45 that was in it.
That's too bad.
Yet another one of those many thousands of things laying around this house that we don't need.
It's a 32nd of an inch thick piece of paper.
Doesn't matter. Get rid of it.
So, Shelly, tell me about this topic.
Yeah.
I've forgotten now what they said in the topic. It was suggested by a listener.
It was. Sarah, I think. And she had said, isn't it, we had been doing the topic on January babies, how the rooms fill up like crazy right after the first of the year. And she was making it like, isn't it funny how soon we forget after that initial shock, like the way that everything will way level back out. Like by now it's February, things have completely leveled out. The places aren't real full anymore because already people have forgotten how bad it was on their little excursion. And when we remember things from the past, sometimes we have a tendency to glossy them up a bit.
That's revisionist history, though. We remember the event. It's not like we're forgetting the event. It's just we morph it in our minds so that we come out on the better end of it.
Well, we forget. I mean, people that go out
clearly
are forgetting something, you know, like how bad it was.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mark?
There's a lot of different directions to go on this. I mean, it's people, you know, I don't understand how you can forget what got you here.
I know.
Just don't get it, because it's like, I vividly remember what got me here. But I see people who go through it all the time, this, you know, this convenient amnesia. I think anybody who makes the comment, my worst day sober is better than my best day loaded, is lying.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
My best day getting loaded was really effing good.
I'm not sure my best day sober is better than my best day loaded.
Now,
I think mine is.
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure because I had some.
Well, but here's the thing, and here's the thing, and this because people right now are freaking when they hear this. Oh my God, I can't believe they said that.
Yes, they can. They know who we are.
Trade your worst day sober, like right now. If you could be loaded like the way it was the best day, would you trade all your recovery to have that day?
No, not all my recovery.
Just a week last Tuesday.
I would trade the one day that I thought was better than the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just trade one?
Yeah, no.
Can
no,
I move don't
my,
work that way.
My sobriety date by one day and
no.
still keep the.
But see, that's the thing because I've told people that for years. They're like, "Oh yeah, I my best day, my worst day sober is better than my best day using." I'm like, "How did you stay out there so long? Because your using sucked. Because my using, you know, for a while was good, and then it all went horribly wrong. But I would never trade it. Never trade it."
Well, see, now I was kind of scared, though, because I grew up in the program, and I knew I was an alcoholic from the gate.
Uh-huh.
So I can probably count on my fingers the number of times I actually controlled and enjoyed my drinking.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a lot of fun. It was just a lot of, I have to do this for me. It was a job.
Actually, the reality is I could probably count on my hands and feet the number of times I actually controlled my drinking, too. I mean, I was kind of relatively out of control from the gate.
And see, I controlled mine. Almost through all of it.
I didn't.
Because I knew I was going to use all I had.
Well, oh, yeah.
So I controlled it just fine. I got a whole bunch and said, I'm going to use all of this, and that's exactly what I did. It was exactly the way I planned it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't have a lot of, you know, people talk about their best day sober, worst day sober, whatever it was. I didn't have a lot of best days drunk, so I don't have a lot of room for comparison. And to be honest, I actually have had a lot more better days sober than I had good days drinking.
Well, I'm going to borrow something out of a boozy news story we haven't covered yet. Oh. But it fits this topic.
Okay.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, Academy yes. Award winning actor, had 22 years sober.
Yep.
Found dead with a needle hanging out of his arm.
Allegedly.
And wearing carpet slippers.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
And empty heroin baggies around him as
and
well.
And full heroin baggies
and full
around
ones,
him.
And yeah. full ones.
Which is really discouraging.
Quite yeah. a lot of it, actually.
Yeah.
So, but it reminds me of a part in the Big Book. And obviously, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman was died from heroin. But it reminds me how... All drugs, even though the Big Book is talking specifically about alcohol, how all drugs seem to fit in that same category. There's a part in the Big Book where it says, and this guy thought that his long period of sobriety had enabled him to drink like other men.
Yep.
And
out came the carpet slippers.
Yeah. Out came the carpet slippers. He was dead.
Yeah. And the smoking jacket. Yeah, he was dead within 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I think for Philip Seymour Hoffman, it was a lot less time
less
because
than a year.
The well, the thing is with the only way you're going to really like die right off with alcohol is probably drunk driving crash. Whereas every time you do heroin, you could overdose like every single time.
Well, if you fill a bathtub with vodka and submerge yourself, you might drown.
Or you could do the enema thing.
Or drink fast.
The enema thing doesn't sound that fun.
No, really not. Why would you do that?
It's like hitting your head on the toilet.
But, you know, but Philip fits right into like that category,
exactly.
Selective memory. It's like how – see, and those are the things that kind of worry me because, you know, according to all accounts, for 22 years, a good upstanding member of program, I'm sure a variety pack of programs. He's probably an AA and NA. And possibly others, who knows. And upstanding person, doing good things, sponsoring, doing all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the idea comes in, wouldn't it be great to, like, slam a little heroin?
No, that's not how it started.
How did it start?
He
a drink?
Had one drink at a party.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, you asked me a question earlier about.
No, I mean, at some point he said, maybe just a little heroin would be okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, you asked me a question about, you know, would I trade, if my best day getting loaded was better than my best day sober, would I trade it? No, because I've had more better continuous days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In my life today.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I wouldn't be willing to trade. You know, I wouldn't be willing to trade the way I feel today for the way I absolutely know I would feel if I started getting loaded again. There's no doubt. There's no question in my mind. I know where I came from. I know what it was like. I've said it a lot of times in meetings. The thing that bonds us all, no matter what 12-step program you're in, is we all know the way you felt the day before the first day you got clean and sober.
Yeah.
We all know that feeling. We know how it felt that last that day before you showed up. Day minus one.
Yeah.
We all know that feeling. And that and if you forget that feeling,
you're doomed.
You're done. Because we all know what that feeling is. Out of dope, out of hope, desperate. You know, just, you know, sick and tired of being sick and tired, all those things. We felt all of those all the time. There was nothing left. It quit working. I mean, I could put amazing amounts of cocaine into my system. Didn't matter. Was I getting high? I don't know. I don't think so, but I was kind of immune to getting high by then.
And I'll tell you something. Something that I have some experience with that, Shelly would have some experience with it, but Mark doesn't because Mark stayed sober. I'll tell you what. But you know this because you've heard it from a million people. Mm-hmm. If I go back today, there's no way I would have a great time even once because I would be overcome by guilt like immediately. I mean, and everything, I would never be able to get loaded again the way I did before when I was when I really didn't know how bad it could be. It's like I know all that. I've experienced all that. The moment it went in my system, I'd be like, oh, my God. It would be horrible.
Threw away all that time.
It would be horrible.
I should move somewhere else. I could still have 28 years.
And I'm thinking that's the way Philip Seymour Hoffman felt. You know, he had that one drink and went, oh, shit. He probably did. And then, and he knew, I would say that he knew what was going to happen.
We all know what's going to happen.
And I think a lot of people probably think, you know, alcohol wasn't really my thing. I'm not scared of alcohol. You know, drug addicts, you know, like heroin users, or I was a cocaine user. Alcohol was low on my priority list. I'm less scared of booze and weed than I am of anything.
I joke around about it too much,
but
I will tell you.
But if I did some, then I'd be like, well, shit, I already gave up my 24 years. Why don't I just go do what I want to do? Which will end up horribly.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about selective memory, we're talking about the January babies, people that come in at the beginning of the year. Because, you know, January 1st is a really cool sobriety date.
It's my sister's sobriety date.
There you go. Yeah, but she stuck around.
Yes, she did.
Most of them don't. Because where at what point in the month of January do they suddenly say, it wasn't that bad. And, like, what is it? I mean, are they not ready or were they not really alcoholics and they just had a really bad experience at the company Christmas party? Or
usually when they get their second paycheck and they have some money back again.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what it could be, too? I'll bet this happens with a lot of people. It's their first experiences in recovery. Because I would be willing to bet that there is a lot of people, because I experienced this when I first went to AA, where I'm like, I'm hearing stories. Like, someone's a speaker, and they're giving their qualification. I'm like, holy effing crap. I'm like, that guy's an alcoholic. Oh, my God, I never even drank like that guy. Or they go into a recovery hospital, and everybody in the recovery hospital is telling their overdose stories and stuff, and this guy's like, whoa, hey, oh, you know, I just got a 502. You know, I didn't do anything like that. You know, what, you know, I have no idea. You know, it's not that bad for me. Because I'm sure a lot of people that have that one drunk driving on New Year's Eve. First time they go to a meeting, they're like, oh, my God, these guys are bad. These guys are bad. Well, I'm not that bad.
I don't know. You know, I've said it a lot. This program has changed a lot since I came in.
Yep.
And the majority of the people that are walking in the rooms now would get all but chased out of the rooms 25 years ago.
That's true.
Because you know, you got people who come in. Why? They either got caught.
Old timers would say they're not ready.
Yeah. And yeah. They're not ready. I mean, I listen to people come in the rooms. I listen to them share. And I'm like, okay, get to the part where you've got a disease. Because right now what you've got is mom and dad on your ass.
Right. Well, I almost got chased out. Well, not really chased out, but Big Book Mac tried to. Because my very first, I don't know, couple of weeks at meetings, I was going to one on Monday and Tuesday with the same old-timer, Big Book Mac. And he kept telling me, you're too young to be here. Go home and make dinner for your husband. He kept telling me that. And the only thing, you know, if I hadn't grown up in the program, I probably would have had the selective memory and said, yeah, he's an old guy. He drank a lot. Maybe I didn't drink that much. Because the reality is, my actual drinking time was only like three and a half years out of my whole 46 years. The problem is, I'm an alcoholic, so all of that 3.5 years or whatever it was spent drinking alcoholically.
You drank alcoholically from the start, huh?
Yes. There was never a time when I ever had a limit.
Yeah.
The only time when I ever had a limit was when I was in a dry period, and that was a rigid, self-controlled, I really didn't drink. I mean, in the 10 years that I was dry, between my first and second binge, I probably drank, in that whole period of time, a bottle of wine and maybe a 12-pack of beer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I just didn't drink. But then when, you know, the gloves are off and I'm in a binge state, there was never a time, ever. I mean, there was...
The quantity of empty fifths...
Yeah, it was... Yeah,
that I found in our room, I was shocked. I mean, I was like,
you were shocked.
Wow.
Well, and like...
There was like 12 fifths in there. I was like, oh, my God.
And that was just the previous week.
Well, you save 30% if you buy by the case.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, like when the beginning of my second binge, when my first husband wandered off, he came over one day and we were going to discuss the division of property. And we were sitting there and his parents had moved and, you know, you can't send booze with the moving company.
Right.
So they'd boxed it all up and left it with us until they could come and retrieve it.
Uh-huh.
So I cracked open the box. This was right at the beginning of the binge, and I knew I had stuff in the house, but I didn't want to make it look like I had stuff in the house.
Uh-huh.
So I crack open their box, and I opened a bottle of brandy, just started drinking it from the bottle. And he wasn't even surprised. And this is a person that I had been dry with during our marriage, and he was not surprised that I was drinking like that.
Uh-huh.
So obviously there was something about me that led him to believe that that was a possibility for me.
Well, you had mentioned Big Book Mac. I remember Big Book Mac looking at me one time, and he said, look at you, kid. I spilt more than you ever drank. And
he wasn't a very good drunk then.
Well, I told him, I said, well, you're just a sloppy drunk. That's all it is. Because I don't know about you, but my booze was more important to me than that. I like to make sure it hit my mouth. And then when I went to sit down, he's like, oh, that was a pretty good comeback, kid.
Yeah. Falling down the stairs, but you saved the beer.
I'll tell you what, though. He was so right. I mean, I went in and out many times after that.
Yeah, I don't know about you. I didn't spill very much cocaine while I was out there.
One time.
Little. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, I'm not going to tell the story because we'll have people going out. but I'll tell you about it after the show. By the way, final thoughts on selective memory, Shelley.
Wow.
Go to Mark.
Final thoughts on selective memory, Mark.
If you forget where you came from, you are destined to return.
There you go. Shelley?
I don't have anything even remotely that good. I don't know. Eventually, if whatever you've forgotten that led you to go back out, you'll remember pretty darn quick.
My final words?
Yeah.
I forgot. No. My I actually saw this on a cap, and it was for a Navy vessel once, and it says, "What is past is prologue." So what's happened in the past, it could be destined to happen again. You're not careful. Chelly, who is our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Awesome. Mark,
yes.
People listen to the shoe.
Thank you.
Okay.
No, we asked you to go do all the things that we've always asked you to do at the end of shows, which is go to our site, recovery101.net, and click on a show. At that point, when that show comes up, there'll be a like button. If you're already a member of Podomatic, there'll be a like button that you can click. If you're not, there'll be a box come up saying, "We see you're new to Podomatic. Would
yes.
you like to join?" Join.
And follow.
And follow. Because when you join and follow, you'll get automatic updates sent to your email when new shows are posted. And you can go up and you can click on the permalink button, from which point you can comment, like, add us to your playlist, and participate in our show.
That would be good. By the way, on the following thing...
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you can follow more than once.
It asks me to follow every few weeks.
I mean, even if it doesn't ask you, you go to the main page and it's got all the shows over there on the mm-hmm. left, and over on the right it's got information that mm-hmm. says become a follower. I have seen several of the people that comment a lot, mm-hmm. like are following every couple shows, every few shows.
Yep.
So I don't know why. It might be a glitch, but if you can, just go ahead and follow and see what happens. If you are Facebook friendly, we'd like to invite you to like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. And if you'd like to be a little anonymous to your program activities online, you can join the Recovery 101 Radio group. We have email addresses at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We do not. Shelly, who's lead out music by? Deer in the headlights.
And you know, the funny thing was, just a second ago, I was actually thinking, oh, okay, what am I going to pick for the lead out music?
And what'd you come up with?
Well, he was singing it earlier, but I think I'll go with a different song, but I want the Evangelicals.
Okay. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.